this is Eddie Whitlock, author of Evil is Always Human, and I'm talking with Rabbi Saul Solomon on Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Oh, shalom, shalom, goddammit, everyone. I am so happy. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon, founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I am always excited and honored that Dave Lefkowitz gives me the opportunity to appear on his radio program, because I do love radio. I have not only a face for radio, but a tuchus for it as well. And I love talking to other people about radio who have been in radio, or more grammatically correct, on the radio. One such person is with us on the telephone at this very moment. His name is Eddie Whitlock, and he's done nighttime shows. He's done overnight shows all in Georgia, so he's got an accent so thick you could cut it with a bris knife. Plus, he has gone out of radio, and now Eddie Whitlock has written a novel, a gothic southern novel called Evil is Always Human, which, by the way, I do not necessarily agree with. I think evil is generally retail. There we go. But anywho, I hear nothing on the other end of the line. Eddie Whitlock, are you there?
It's such a great day to meet Rabbi Saul Solomon.
It always is, isn't it?
I'm honored.
Whoa, well, honored. I'm honored that you're honored. Are you honored that I'm honored that you're honored?
And then some.
And then some, indeed. So, Eddie Whitlock, look, why don't we take it all the way back to the very beginning, because you've been in radio, now you're an author, you've done public speaking, you work in a library. What was your start? What were you doing 40, 50 years ago?
Well, it all started at a small 1,000-watt radio station, just like Ted Baxter, actually, now that I think about it. Griffin, Georgia. I started working for a fellow named Fred Watkins at WHIE. Had a great time.
Wait, WHIE? Why?
Yeah.
Comedy right there for you.
Good.
How did you get the... Did you just walk in? Did you say, please give me a job? Were you interested in radio? What happened?
Well, it was the closest thing that I could see as being doing nothing and yet calling it a job.
That's Dave's motto, yes.
I'm going to sit and talk and get paid for it. I'm there, buddy. Just let me know when and where. And so they gave me a 4-hour shift, and the rest, as they say, is history.
How old were you at that point?
16.
Oh, my, so really, that was still in high school kind of a gig. That's amazing. And how long did you stay in radio?
Off and on, I was in radio for like 15, 20 years.
Wait, how old are you now?
Off and on.
How old are you now then, if you don't mind my asking?
I am a whopping 54 years old.
Mit Mazel, mit Glick, you hit the big 5-0. That's so, all right, so it was a fairly early and not that huge part of your whole long life so far, so you were on this. Let's keep it where we were. WHIE, or why not? So, how long were you there, and what was your next level? Where did you go from there?
Moved across town to WGRI, because that's how local radio works. They steal the talent.
I agree.
Steal the talent.
Did we get the AGRI? I agree. All right, that wasn't very good. So there, were you the morning man there?
Yeah, for a while I did the Wake Up with Whitlock morning show.
Wake Up with Whitlock. Now, what was that show like?
Or was it liked? It was not liked. We did it for several years in spite of the audience, and had a great time. We did a little bit of humor. We had regular callers. Had a lady whom we had nicknamed the Dirty Song Lady.
Oh.
Because she always called and requested the most suggestive songs. And we had our other regulars. We had Alan's... Well, these days, Alan works for the Postal Service. Any idea of his temperament.
That's marvelous. So you would put these people on the air, or they would call and you would talk to them off the air while playing?
We'd put them on the air, and we'd have a good time. We had a lot of good shtick. Is that appropriate?
Yes, of course. Oh, shtick is a perfect word, yes.
Well, one of our annual routines was to try our best to pull an April Fool's prank that people did not pick up on.
Okay.
So one year we set it all up ahead of time. We interviewed people. I have a cousin who's married to a wonderful Japanese girl.
Oh, yes. Hi. Yes.
Ah, convincing. So I got him to get her to record some announcements for us in Japanese. And then on that day, it just happened that April Fool's fell on a Monday morning, which, if you really want to catch your audience off guard, do it on a Monday morning.
Okay.
So we did it on a Monday morning, and we announced that over the weekend, our county had been sold to a Japanese corporation. Now, logically, you cannot sell a county, but...
But who knew? Who thinks?
Who knew?
Right.
Exactly. So they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. It was great. So later in the day, I had this lady call me. Eddie, I can't believe our idiot commissioner sold us to the Japanese. I go, calm down. I said, what day is it? She said, it's Monday. I said, what day of the calendar? Look at it. She says, oh, it's April Fool's. It's an April Fool's joke. And I said, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. It was just an April Fool's joke. There's a pause, and then the lady says, well, our commissioners are idiots.
Yeah, not just the commissioners, apparently. Well, it's,
you know,
it's Georgia. What can I tell you? No, all right. I mean, but that sounds like a fun, kind of a slightly zany morning show. Not like a morning zoo. More like a morning pet farm would be called. A petting farm zoo, yes.
Yeah, we did. And you know, some of your pranks don't work.
Oh.
Once we tried, because we were going to record, our station's receptionist was not the sharpest tool in the shed, didn't know she was in the shed. And she was a sweet lady, but not really sharp. So we thought we would have some fun and tell her that we were having a groundhog delivered that we were going to use on the morning show, Groundhog Day.
Okay, I would believe that, though. That's not so, you know, all right.
Well, my sister... works at a vet's office, or she did at the time. Very knowledgeable about animals, so we got her to do the call. We're recording the whole thing. Rabbi, it was so uneventful. Our receptionist takes down everything. She's not thrown. My sister's telling her, well, you know the animal weighs over 300 pounds. Okay, 300 pounds.
Oh, God.
It's got quite an odor. Quite an odor.
Uh-oh.
And it's pregnant. It's going to have babies any day now. Going to have babies any day. Nothing rattled the receptionist. So, worst prank ever.
So she was, you know, as you got this on the air, that she was just simply taking all this info down.
Yeah, it was just awful.
Oh, my God.
This is bad radio, Rabbi. Avoid. Avoid the prank.
I know from bad radio. Believe me. So, but let me ask you then. How long were you at GRI in Griffin, Georgia? How long were you doing that show?
Oh, gosh. We did that show for maybe 5 years.
And it just ran its natural course, or did you move to another station?
I moved. Got a job in Athens, Georgia, where I was going to college at the University of Georgia, and worked for a fellow by the name of H. Randolph Holder at WGAU.
Gow.
Oh, sounds quite highfalutin, doesn't it?
Well, actually, Athens,
Holder.
Georgia, was that sort of during the period when it was the musical hub on some level of New Wave in America? I mean, you had R.E.M. coming out of there and a couple of other plays. Or was that just post the whole R.E.M. thing?
We were on the brink of that. At that point, actually, R.E.M. was playing locally and getting booed off stage.
Oh, well.
They were, yeah, they really didn't do that great in the early days because I think people showed up expecting Aerosmith or something and they got, you know, Losing My Religion.
Well, no, not at that point. At that point, they got songs they couldn't understand what the hell Michael Stipe was saying.
Well, there is that
thing. You know, that's Michael Stipe on the first 5 albums, let me tell you.
Exactly. I got those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to watch the video with lyrics. That's really out there.
Well, yeah, it's not like the lyrics made sense when you did understand them. But anywho, so was that a fairly big station then?
Yeah, comparatively, it was a step up, and but you know, radio. Let's face it, you always have characters, and our radio station in Athens had this guy who was the engineer. Now, everybody I know who's ever worked in radio, no matter how how long you've been out of radio, you will still have nightmares about the equipment not working.
Absolutely.
Get there and, the microphone doesn't work, or the microphone works too well. Whatever the problem is, everybody has nightmares about it. But we had an engineer named Les, and you've heard the saying, less is more. Well, in this case, that was not the case.
Less was less in this particular case.
Exactly.
Right.
So Les was, he was the absentee engineer.
Oh, yeah.
So it turns out that one of the things that Les did do very well was order light bulbs.
Oh, this is important.
Yes. Well, it turns out that the light bulb company had premium gifts if you ordered a large number of light bulbs.
Uh-huh.
If you ordered a case of light bulbs, you got a radio. If you ordered two cases of light bulbs, you got a portable television. If you got 10 cases of light bulbs, well, there could be cigarettes in your future. You just never knew. So Les ordered a lot of light bulbs. Well, finally, Les made the mistake of being out of town on a fishing weekend when the station got knocked off the air for, 3 days. And that didn't go over well, as you might expect. And so Les got finally canned. And when they went down into the basement...
How many light bulbs? Les, yeah.
Yes, wall-to-wall light bulbs. Now, I didn't know if that story was true or not. I was working there at the time, but I was not allowed in the basement. So one day I asked Mr. Holder, I told him the story I just told you. I said, is it true about the light bulbs? And Mr. Holder would not quite answer, but he did say, we'll never have to buy light bulbs again. So apparently a true story.
Well, people get by however they can. They do whatever they... And if you kept the station working, hey, you would have had a lot of light bulbs. You know, as God said, let there be light. So it would have been a very biblical...
Yeah. Premium gifts.
Unfortunately, he didn't say, let there be fuses, let there be toilet paper in the bathroom. Let there be a diode microphone working. Unfortunately, there wasn't room in the... But that was in the initial draft of the Old Testament, and they had to take all of that out because it was just reading really slowly.
And they took out a lot of the technical stuff.
Let there be comfortable chairs in the waiting room. They took that out. What can I tell you? We're talking with Eddie Whitlock, the former radio host. We're getting to the point now. After you moved out of that station, did you stop radio altogether?
Well, I wound up periodically over the years. I'd go back into a little bit of part-time work, making the ends meet, as they say, in some cases. And then I actually did radio news for a couple of years, too. That was a lot of fun.
All of this in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So a very diverse career in a very limited geographic area.
And probably very limited finances, but at least you were making something of a living in radio, which is not, believe me, easy to do.
I know, but it's so darn much fun.
I know. So after radio, did you go into public speaking and libraries? What did you do?
Well, actually, after that, I went into being a teacher for a while. I loved teaching, and naturally parlayed that into a career. For a long time, I was a director of nonprofit organizations. I was the director of three different organizations, all of which helped people who were in difficult situations do better.
Well, that's very... I didn't even see that part of your bio. So what you would just...
Well, I try not to talk about the good stuff.
No, because good stuff is boring. But what would you do? Would you get them jobs, give them a bar of soap? How would you help them?
Ha! It ranged from... One of the jobs was directing an indigent health clinic. We helped people get health care who had no insurance. And one of the others was working with at-risk children, helping them to stay in school and get their educations.
Will you smack them around? How would you get them in love? No, how would you... What do you do? You hold the child, you shake him vigorously, and say, stay in the school, you asshole! I mean, what else can you do?
Well, it worked when my dad did it, but no. we helped meet the needs that were going unmet outside of the school day. And in some cases, we help families with better improved housing situations.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, we did good stuff. And I say we because I was just one guy working there, and there were a whole lot of people doing a lot of good work.
And speaking of good works, one of my favorite places in the whole world to be, aside from my synagogue, of course, is a library. And you've been working for libraries for a while.
Yes, and the truth is I'm married to a professional librarian.
Oh, that is so hot. Is it me or are librarian women the hottest thing? Does she wear glasses?
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting a boner as we speak.
See?
Yeah.
No. And, you know, she wears the kind of conservative outfit, but you know she's got the thing on under it.
Yes! Yes, goddammit! Yes, oh my God! Does she have a specialty? Is that, what's her favorite Dewey Decimal number?
614.
Yeah. That's about the number of commandments, isn't it? That's very good. So let me ask you then, what do you do in the library system?
Well, I got a promotion recently. I had been working in circulation, but I got promoted. I am now the manager of the library store.
Ooh!
I know. I'm the director of volunteers and community service workers, and I'm also what I call the vending machine scapegoat. If the machine cheats, you don't kick the machine, call Eddie. And I come out to the lobby and they kick me and...
That makes a lot. You know, I used to work in circulation as well. I got people's vascular systems going. It was very good. It was.
I read about your prostate.
Oh, you did? Yes, yes. It's sagging over the chair as we speak. I keep having to lift it off the floor. It's pretty sad. But
stay off the bicycle, dude.
Oh, I know. Well, I use the banana seat. It's just I don't even know where the hell this is going. Quite honestly, it's going somewhere we don't want to. Do not want to go.
Oh, no, right. A few years ago I went bicycle shopping with a male friend of mine. So he and I are looking at bicycles because he was going to get a bicycle. And we're in whatever sporting goods store, and he sees this great bicycle seat that is made exactly as you were requesting with a opening for testicles.
No!
Way. I'm serious. And it was awesome. And so he and I are here admiring the bicycle seat made for testicles, and the salesman assumed we were a couple.
Well, sure.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It was a bicycle built for two.
That's what he thought.
Well, two, you know what? No, I'm talking about your nuts. Yeah, oh my God.
Ah!
Thank you.
Good one.
So was he, come to think of it. That should really catch on, because there has never been such a thing as a comfortable bicycle seat. I don't know why. Well, I don't know why it is so difficult for either male or, well, maybe the women like the shape of it, well, for obvious reasons. But for men, it's this triangle thing. It took us, is it killing you? The taint? Do you know what your taint feels like even after a 15-minute ride?
I know. I know. I used to ride a stationary bicycle and it hurt. That's not even going anywhere.
I know. Why would you do this?
Well, I gave it up and switched over to a treadmill.
Yeah, well, at least that goes a foot or two. You're moving up in the world. Maybe next time get a roller skate. You'll actually get across the block in an hour. It's a good idea. Give it some thought. We're talking with Eddie Whitlock, former radio host, former public servant, current library helper, soda machine fixer sort of fella, and also, almost perhaps most importantly, that you are an author, too. How did what
isn't that amazing?
Gave you the impetus to write a novel?
Well, I gotta tell you that I've always been a storyteller. You probably hadn't picked up on that.
Oh, there you go.
But there I am, and I took an incident that my grandfather told me about when I was a kid, and I let that be the jumping off point for a work of fiction that weaves in some family stories. Overall, fiction. But some of the minutiae, it really happened.
Okay. Well, your book is a sort of a southern gothic thriller novel. Is that the...
It's really a sad story, to be honest with you. I encourage people to buy the download. Don't spend the money on the paper copy. Come on, you got the Kindle. Just download it for 99 cents, for goodness sake.
Wait a minute. Why the hell would you want people to spend less money on you? You're obviously not Jewish. We know this. You want people to save that. How much money do you get for a Kindle download versus how much money do you get when somebody buys the hard copy?
Kindle download, I get 39 cents.
Okay.
Paper copy, I get like $7.
Whoa, dude, well, geez. Gee, I guess you don't need the money. Good for you. Lucky you.
Oh, no. It's that, you know, I want people to like the book, but if they don't, I want them to go, well, hey, it was only 99 cents. You know, at least I've got that going for me.
There you go. Well, all right.
Tell me that sort of self-abuse isn't Jewish.
Well, I know tremendous things about self-abuse, but we won't go there either. That's why I need a special bicycle seat. So, you took certain family stories, and in a very basic line or two, what is the high concept version of the plot of Evil is Always Human?
In other words, what part does Johnny Depp play when they make the movie?
There you go.
Well,
the Johnny Depp part and the Shecky Green part. Which one?
Funny you'd mention that. Shecky Green, I've got something written for him, too.
Okay,
Evil is Always Human is about a sharecropper family in 1912 Georgia, and these poor people lead such a miserable life because they're all assholes to each other. How's that?
And it sounds very Eugene O'Neill. Okay, and?
Yeah. And just when you think things are going to get better, they don't. And it kind of goes downhill from there.
And there's a murder involved, isn't there? There's somebody dies, somebody kills, something like that, no?
Yeah, it's not good. It starts off with a hanging.
Back in the day,
there was nothing more fun than loading up the family on a Saturday afternoon and going and seeing a public event. And so my sharecropper family in 1912, that's what the father takes them to do because he thinks that's going to be a lot of fun.
Idea
of what jerks these people are.
But then again, we laugh at this, but back in the day, it was something, a public execution. And if they felt the person was guilty, it was kind of a celebration. I mean, I know it's a little odd for us to see that 70, 80, 90 years hence. Actually, it's 100 years hence, isn't it? But and I'm misusing that my henses, which is problematic. But we have to think in terms of back then, there wasn't TV. You know, there wasn't Xbox, there wasn't computer, you had hangings.
Right.
And who doesn't like being well hung? So there you go.
apparently that was one of the appeals also, is what happens to men when they get hanged. There's a little explosion there at the end, and apparently a lot of people enjoy that part.
Well, they like the pooping. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the pooping is good. So what is a thing that happened in your family for real that you adapted into this book?
Well, there is the story that my great-grandfather was such a bad man. He was abusive to his family. So one day that he had the kids out plowing the field, and one of the kids snuck up behind him and whacked him in the head with a big rock. And killed him.
Oh, and killed? Wait, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
Yowza.
And so the sheriff investigated, and the sheriff's basic response to this was, well, he needed killing. And, you know, no charges were filed, no investigation. It was probably listed as, you know, accidental death, but he whacked the guy. So fast forward to last year, one of my distant cousins reads the book, and I'm kind of worried about this because, you know, everybody in the family knows that it was her grandfather who killed the guy. She reads the book, and she says, well, you know, Eddie, it was your grandfather that killed the guy.
Wait.
But it was your grandfather.
Not hers, yours.
Yeah, so now, love that.
Is she...
Now, I don't know whether it was my great-uncle or my grandfather who whacked the guy. But either way, the guy needed whacking.
Well, yeah, no, but it's funny how the family is. No, it's not my, wasn't my great-grandpa, it was your great-grandpa. The families never want to own up to the skeleton.
Exactly. And let me tell you, we got enough skeletons in our closet to start a boneyard.
What else? What other thing happened, whether it made it into the book or not?
Mainly the sexual dalliances.
Oh, well.
Every family has the naughty lady.
We
don't want to admit it, but there was a great aunt, and, you know, she...
She wasn't great. She was really good, though.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That's not what your uncle said.
Oh.
But, you know, she got around more than she should with people she shouldn't have, and there may have, you know, we're not really sure who your cousin's father is, and so, you know...
That's not so,
children are actually full brothers and sisters or half brothers and sisters.
Whoa.
There is that in the story, too, because it's just the reality of people.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned in the blurb for promoting your book, Evil is Always Human, is the fact that you did, you're doing genealogy searches of your family and of your hot librarian wife, her family, too. And everything about her family came up good, and everything about your family came up horrible.
It is so true, Rabbi. The stories were just like almost linear next to each other, drawn out on some kind of mathematical graph of positive and negative. My wife has this ancestor who was the first Postmaster General of Charleston, South Carolina.
Ooh.
He retired. He was called out of retirement by President George Washington so he could reestablish mail routes after the Revolution. Is that not awesome?
So, your wife is a direct descendant of, like, the first American postman, kind of?
Of Charleston, South Carolina.
Of Charleston, South Carolina. And meanwhile, your family...
Meanwhile...
Murderers and whores.
On my side of the family, we got Josiah Whitlock, whose official cause of death is hunted down and shot by sheriff's posse.
Oh, woo. For what?
He had this great idea for selling horses wholesale. Now, I don't know if...
I'm all for wholesale.
See?
Wholesale's the best thing ever. Oh, my God, yes.
The real stumbling block to his plan was he did not own the horses.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So he and his business partner were hunted down and shot by sheriff's posse.
Wow.
At the time, it seemed like a good idea.
Well, you know what? It's not so different. You watch on the news, there's people who do the same thing today with real estate. They sucker people online. They say, oh, put a down payment on the house, and they've got nothing to do with the house.
Yeah. Yeah. The only good thing I can really say about my family is none of us went into politics.
Oh, thank God. Although you couldn't really have been worse. Think about it. When you look at people like Richard Nixon and George Bush and Dick Cheney, I mean, really, how much worse could a horse liar and, you know, a slutty great aunt be?
Exactly.
I think I would have had your slutty great aunt in more ways than one, come to think of it. Hello. Thank you, goddamn. But let me ask you, if you found out all these horrible things about your family, why are you seem to be very gung-ho about everybody researching their genealogy and how that's a good thing?
Because I think that it makes us realize that while symbolically we are brothers,
yeah,
actually we're all cousins. I mean, if you do enough research, you'll find out that your family wove in and out with some interesting characters, not always the Solomon family, you know. So you're going to find out that you have relatives everywhere, and you have relatives of every walk of life. And they weren't all Postmaster General of Charleston, South Carolina, either.
I get it. I mean, we can't go much back further with my family than like 100-something years. It sort of stopped somewhere in Eastern Europe, and that's where it is. So hoping that maybe I had some bad people killing some Russians in there, that would be nice. You know,
see?
Then we deserve it.
Have that going for you.
Yeah. So
connection to the Moscow mob, that could come in handy.
It would now come to think of it, because we could use a new sump pump for the synagogue. Don't have the money for it. Now let me ask, in our closing minutes with Eddie Whitlock, are you working on another book?
I'm working on a couple of books. One of them, of course, is a sequel to Evil is Always Human. And the sequel follows my main character to his death, actually.
Oh, sounds like fun.
I want it to be a trilogy. I hate trilogies. So, by golly, the sequel is going to be the last book in that series. I hate trilogies.
All right, so don't do a trilogy. You're doing the second. But you've given away the ending, which people can really skip through about 300 pages right there.
Darn it.
And what other, if you don't mind, what other kinds of books are you working on?
Well, the other one is a collection of zombie short stories involving U.S. presidents throughout history.
What?
Yeah. See, what if the zombie apocalypse had happened with President James Buchanan. Huh? Now we're talking interesting story, aren't we, Rabbi?
I don't even remember. What? I don't know the first thing about James Buchanan. Was he the fat one?
No, he was probably our only gay president.
Ooh, well, whoa.
Yeah. See?
So if he were a zombie, then, okay.
How would President Buchanan deal with the zombie apocalypse? And my answer is, not very well. Because he is also one of our lesser known presidents for a good reason. He preceded Abe Lincoln and didn't do so hot opening the door for Abraham Lincoln. And then what if...
At least he didn't open the back door for Abraham Lincoln, if you know what I'm saying.
Boom, boom.
Thank you.
I mean, you're all weak people. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sam. Well, there's also talk that Lincoln was gay. And there's a thing now where any famous person, there's some gay group that's saying they're gay. I don't know what... It's happening. Any famous Hollywood actor, any historical figure from President Lincoln, I've heard this about. They say Tennessee Williams was gay. I don't believe any of this.
No. And Liberace.
And Liberace. Absolutely not.
No.
He loved his mother. That's nothing wrong with
that. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. And high fashion, I think that's a positive attribute.
So, zombies... during other presidents' realms.
And if you go to my Facebook page, as I know you will, you can look under the notes section for one of the stories from the book. It's called, it's the story of George W. Bush and the zombie apocalypse.
George W. Bush was the zombie apocalypse, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I am so going to use your line that George W. Bush couldn't find his ass in his underpants. That's a good line.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I watched him try and do it. It was really horrifying. He was in the back lawn of the White House. He needed to scratch, and he was just feeling around in there. It was tragic. But,
well, I'm pretty sure Cheney gave him directions.
Indeed. Well, no, Cheney couldn't fire a gun in the right direction. I'm not sure. Anywho. Speaking of zombie apocalypses, so this is the deal, people. What is your Facebook page? Is that the best place for people to find out about Eddie Whitlock?
Well, they can look me up on Amazon.com, or they can look me up on a website called Goodreads. Goodreads is a great website if you're a reader, because you link with other people, and if you liked a certain book, you can find out about other books that are similar to that one.
Oh, that's a very good idea. They should do that with... music too, and things like that. It's sort of this begets that. If you like this, you might like that.
Exactly. It's the Pandora radio of books.
So it's like James Buchanan. If you like zombies, you might also like men's Dorcases. It could work.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Like it. I like it.
Last question for Eddie Whitlock. And by the way, that name is spelled Whitlock. Eddie Whitlock. I assume you certainly are not Jewish. But what are you and how religious are you?
Well, I used to be Catholic, but I got over it.
Good for you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right now, these days, I'm not anything.
Ooh.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Wait, are you interested in being converted?
If I could become part of your temple, I love your temple.
Thank you. Thank you. I love both my temples on both sides of my head.
But I just, when I heard about the temple, was it Temple Sons of Bitches?
It is indeed, yes.
That is awesome.
I know, of course it's awesome. I made it, goddammit. And we would love to, we have a health plan, if you're interested.
What is the health plan?
We give you an apple, because it keeps the doctor away.
Ah.
You get a free apple every month, so eat it slowly.
Ah, and I assume, of course, the chicken soup recipe is posted.
Chickens, you got the recipe, but we can't afford the soup. You got to make that yourself.
I cannot blame. Could you at least help me get the ingredients wholesale?
No.
Ah,
but we can point you to websites that we can do. Happy to do it to get more people in our shul. We especially need a Shabbos goy. So until you actually convert, you can turn the lights on and off.
I do know that. Somebody's got to turn your lights on because you can't work on...
There you go. Right. And plus, now I know, you must have taken a carton or two of those light bulbs when you're at the radio station.
Okay, I got a few. Yeah.
So, see, bring them over, and we'll talk. I'll teach you a couple of words of Hebrew. You'll be in the tribe. It'll be great.
That's awesome. Yeah, and of course those light bulbs, I can get them for you wholesale.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with the wonderful Eddie Whitlock. Buy his book and buy it cheap on Kindle. Evil is always human. You can find out about it also at Amazon and at the Facebook page of Mr. Whitlock. Mr. Whitlock, my only thing is, please try and do more radio, because you're really delightful on it. I can tell what a good host you have been. If you come out to Colorado, you know, please come be a guest. Yeah, no, I would say don't go on our radio station, because you'll end up taking Dave's job, I can tell. But anywhere else but Colorado, get back on the air. We need you.
Thank you, Rabbi. I appreciate your time.
It's been a delight. Thank you, Eddie Whitlock. Shalom.
Shalom.